hello and welcome in again to the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harland. I am your co-host, Brian Brown. Mike, this is it's an exciting time always to be in the B.B. McKinney Studios, the history, the majesty. It's all here.
It's opulent, I think.
The opulence, yeah, yes. Exactly. It's all here, not too opulent. And no. I want to point out none of this room here, the studios, were not paid for by any cooperative program funds.
That's exactly right.
They were not used in the building of this studio.
Lifeway is self-funded.
Absolutely right. So just to settle those fears. But these podcasts that we do, Mike, most of the time, you know, I record them and then move on with my life. But these next two podcasts that are going to be airing in succession at the Worship Life Podcast, these are ones that I'm looking forward to listening to, and the reason is because these are an event that I wasn't
they
at.
They happened without you, Brian.
That's right.
And I've got to say, Tim and I did this without you.
Tim Henning, our producer, engineer.
And Tim
guy.
Is here, of course, listening right now. And
hello.
Yeah, thank
there
you, Tim.
He is.
And that was awkward. But anyway, but Brian, I want to say that you were missed, but I don't think you were.
You didn't notice a decline in the spiritual nature of the conversation with Tim instead of me.
Somehow. It was hard.
Right, sure.
But somehow Tim and I were able to do this without you.
But on a serious note, the Worship Life event happened in Gatlinburg, and all kinds of folks there.
Listen,
you got to interview.
The people that are listening to this podcast, if you don't know about Worship Life yet, whether it's the one we did in Riverside at Cal Baptist or the one we did in Gatlinburg, if you are someone in a local church and you have choirs and you do ministry, I don't know a better conference you could go to that would have a more versatile and more widespread equipping and resourcing focus than Worship Life. I mean, we've got all the major publishers are there, and they come read their new music. We've got artists that are there. We've got, and I tell you what, every year I see the breakout lineup. Yeah. We've got some of the finest people talking to the church about practical ministry things, but also some important inspirational things and theological things. And the Worship Life events are just becoming this amazing thing that I'm just very, very proud of.
Absolutely. And I think that the interviews that you and Tim were able to get, just grabbing people in the hallway or backstage or as they were walking by, is going to be a great example of the types of people that are at this event.
Yeah. So just imagine, Brian, and I know you've been to this event before, and we're not there this year because somebody's got to kind of keep the store going here.
It is budget season.
Yeah,
yes.
It was budget season, and Brian was kind of holding the ropes back in the main office while most of our creative team and event team were in Gatlinburg executing the event.
The talent.
The talent, exactly. But here was literally the scene is we've got these sponsors from everywhere. Right. And, I mean, these are all people that are resourcing the church. And if I called all the companies' names, it would be people everybody listening knows about, I hope, anyway. And so during one of the breaks, when people were moving between premieres and breakouts and all of that, coming through the hall, we literally were grabbing people. But not just the attendees, we were grabbing some of the sponsors, some of the people that were there speaking, teaching, and what people are about to hear in these next two broadcasts. A major publisher sits down and talks to us about Christian music. We've got artists that we grabbed and had a few conversations with. We've got denominational church leaders from some of our state conventions that came by. We've got one guy that was there this week. This year, just as a someone that was willing to sit down and give some time as a listening, just a sounding board. We had a professional counselor that was there all week that was talking to individuals. We spent some time with him. As a matter of fact, our conversation with him was so rich, we've actually asked him to come back into this studio and do a full couple of broadcasts with nothing but just some of the counseling and some of those needs, personal needs that people have in ministry. I could go on and on, but we're just taking time away. We had so many great conversations with so many different kinds of people that this is actually going to become two broadcasts. And it's just going to be little short conversations, 5 and 10 minutes, and we're going to splice them together and give everybody a flavor of the folks that were at Worship Life this year teaching our breakouts and leading in our worship time.
Sounds fantastic. Can't wait to hear it myself. Here we go with episode one of Worship Life Event Live on the podcast, the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harland.
All right, back at Worship Life, and Tim, as we did a minute ago, we're grabbing people and just talking to them.
Yeah,
walked by. Larry Grayson, the music director, music leader. I don't know your official title, but you work for the Arkansas Baptist Convention. Right. Larry, what's your official title?
Music and worship consultant.
All right. So what in the world does a music and worship consultant for a state convention like Arkansas do?
Well, what's your life like? I serve 1,553 churches.
Yep.
Is that it?
That's it. Yeah.
That's all.
On a good day.
Wow.
Yeah. And that means anything from resourcing to troubleshooting to staff conflict to help with resolution there.
Yeah.
Leading events, planning events. In fact, we've got our worship arts camps coming up.
Yeah.
So just, you know, every day's different. Let's put it that way.
Well, I think about Arkansas, and there's some great churches in Arkansas, and there's some great churches with great worship and music ministries in Arkansas.
Yes.
You invited me to come a couple of years ago and spend time with all those guys, and was so impressed with those brothers and sisters over there in Arkansas. They're doing a great work, and I know it's a privilege for you to be part of that every day. And you guys seem to, at least from the outside or somebody that's visited there, you seem to have a really tight group of guys. Like,
yes.
I know you have Master Singers, a group that's all those guys, and it just seems like they really work together and support each other well in serving
yes,
the church.
We have a great group, and because it's Masters Singers.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I hate it when it's Master Singers. It's like, we are really something else.
Masters Singers.
Okay, yeah, it's a play on words. I've almost changed the name of the group because of that.
Yeah.
But anyway, in fact, we were grateful when you came. Our guys still talk about the impact you had in sharing those 2 days with us at Mosaic. And
thank you for
investing in them. But I do. I have some great guys. They're committed, and there's a tight fellowship, and you can't ask for better than that. It's really good.
All right,
good.
So Larry, you've been in that role how long?
8 years.
8 years. I knew it was more than five, but I've lost track of time. And before that, your life really before that was all about local church staff ministry.
Absolutely.
You served churches. So give us a rundown of some of the places the Lord led you along the way where you served.
My longest stay was at First Baptist Louisville, Texas in North Dallas. I was there for 13 years. And I just had incredible time there. After that, I jumped 2 years over to First Baptist North Augusta, South Carolina, and would probably still be there had this convention thing not stepped in, something I never, ever saw myself doing. Denominational work, no, because I just have a real passion for the local church.
Yeah, and you know what? You and I share that, because when Lifeway came calling my name, I went, are you kidding me? The last thing I'd want everyone to do. As a matter of fact, I love sitting on the outside and criticizing what the guys in Nashville are doing.
That sounds fun,
Yeah, exactly. Instead, and now it's like, okay, now what did you think needed to be fixed? Because it's your problem now.
But absolutely.
So anyway, all right, so I want to ask you, here's the big question.
Okay.
And we won't keep you much longer because I know you're moving around the conference here, but the big question is, you're a guy that looks, you said 1,500 churches,
1,550.
So that's a lot of different ways to do worship. That's a lot of different size churches, context. Some of those are churches in cities like Little Rock. Some of them are in places none of us have ever heard of. And you serve all those churches. So just from your seat, what do you see happening in the churches in Arkansas that is encouraging or exciting or maybe even challenging? What are you thinking about when you look at serving all those churches, that what you see is happening in worship in those churches?
Well, first off, thanks for the thing that y'all hosted on Monday to get it was mainly built for the college people. I get that. But we got to sit in on that and hear the change in approach to training worship leaders. We have a major shortage in Arkansas.
Yeah.
You know, to a lot of people, if you didn't grow up in Arkansas, I love it. I grew up there. But if you didn't, it may not be that big of a draw for you to come to Arkansas, you know? And we have of the churches that I mentioned a minute ago, on a given Sunday morning, 105 of those will be 200 or bigger.
Wow.
The rest of them are small churches. So we are a state of small churches.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And so, again, the need for worship leaders is huge.
Yeah.
Okay. So I see that as a great need. But I see a lot of peace in our churches. They're finally stopping what we're talking about a lot this week. They're finally stopping the discussion of I like this and I like that.
Yeah.
It's more of what Vernon even taught of the, you know, just God-honoring music and leading
your
people in that. So it's just really, really awesome
to
see that. But we have a shortage. We have a great need in our state. And I don't think I'm alone, because I talk to the other guys and they feel the same way. But you do a good job here, and not just because I'm sitting here with you. This is my first time to come to Worship Life. It's always been during Super Summer that's on my team, so I couldn't come. And this is my first time to come. And the breakouts, every breakout I have attended has been beneficial.
Oh,
so I'm glad that I'm here, and I'm glad that I've experienced it so I can go back now and talk firsthand of what worship life's about. It really is a good thing.
Thank you, Larry.
You guys do a great job.
Well, for all you guys listening now, just know that Larry needs some help over in Arkansas with some worship pastors to get over there and start helping. So, you know, let's get some of you moving that direction and help those great churches over there. Larry, we appreciate what you do. We really do.
Mike.
And I have a lot of respect for the work that the guys that in the role that you have there in Arkansas, it's significant because you are helping those churches navigate the waters of worship and music, and you're a resource to all those people. You're an encourager. In many respects, you pastor those people that are in those ministries, and thank you for how you serve the church in that role. We appreciate you stopping by and talking to us.
Well, thank you. Thanks for all that you do for us, for the state leaders as well as our worship pastors. You're a great resource for them, and Lifeway is a great resource, so thank you for that.
Thanks, Larry.
All right, Mike, this has been
it's
fun.
Kind of fun.
Talking to all these different people.
We've got a couple people lined up.
We've never had this much variety
They're all
in
coming.
A podcast.
Yeah,
but who's up next? Who's coming?
So I found this guy, and he wasn't doing anything. So
he was just sitting in a corner.
No, actually, he's got an exhibit space here for a ministry called Priority Worship. And I love this guy. He's like a brother to me. Terry Williams from the great state of Florida. The maestro of the Florida Worship Choir. What else would we talk about? Erlene's husband. I think that's probably
he's always got a smile and a hug.
What?
This August will be 40 years of marriage.
40 years of
marriage.
Come on. Yes, sir. We got married when we were 15.
How did she do it?
I don't know.
She needs to write that book. There are probably some wives out there could use
it. Oh, there are some great stories.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. All right, so you have been in Florida for all of your ministry? I know you were, with the
exception of seminary, Fort Worth, Texas, for 3 years, and then 3 years serving a church in Augusta, Georgia.
And then
the rest of my time has been in Florida.
Now, I know you're in Ocala.
Ocala, Florida.
So were there some other churches along the way before Ocala?
Yeah, I was at First Baptist of Ocala, of course.
Yeah.
And then early, right out of seminary, I served a church on Amelia Island, Fernandina Beach, Florida. Was there for 7 years.
Man, you got sand in your shoes, bro.
I mean,
you're just a Florida guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sand gnats and the whole bit.
Gators or Seminoles?
There's nothing greater than a gator except a Christian gator.
Okay, so that answered that question.
Yeah.
All right, so our Chastity Phillips, our marketing strategist, is the big Seminole, and she probably...
FSU?
FSU. Yeah. She'll probably
Are you talking about FSU?
She'll probably somehow bury this podcast since we brought that up. Terry, you've been in it a long time, and you go a long ways. You've seen a lot of changes in church music in the time that you've done it. So tell us about Priority Worship, this season of your life, what God's using you and calling you to do now. I mean, you've for a long time, State Convention of Florida, you're still related to those folks and still provide leadership there.
Yes.
And, of course, I mentioned the Florida Worship Choir, which is an amazing organization of guys that sing and their wives and amazing place. And you let me direct one retreat for them is all. And that was 10 years ago. So, what does that say? I don't know. Maybe I didn't
do
very
good.
It was so good they couldn't take it.
They couldn't take anymore.
But what about now? Tell me about Priority Worship and what God's doing.
Well, it's a new journey in life for us, and I never saw itinerant ministry being, my future. And the thing that it reminded me of is that we are not in charge of our future.
Yeah.
And that God is, and He gives us assignments, and I believe in that. I mean, I know we want to pursue God's will, we want to seek God's will, we want to be in God's will, but the reality is, for those of us who are either supernaturally called or spiritually called to tasks of ministry, I view those tasks of ministry as assignments.
Yeah.
And when the assignment is done, he will give you another assignment. He reassigns you to another work of ministry.
Yeah.
And so that's what he did with me. I mean, I was a minister of music, worship leader, worship pastor for all those years up until I was 48 years of age when I began the work with the Florida Baptist Convention as their director of music and worship. And I didn't see that coming, and it was a totally new assignment for me, related to the calling, related to the things that he was doing in my life. But it was a new assignment, and I did that for 14 years. And then at the end of that 14 years, that assignment was done, apparently. Mm-hmm. And then he gave and reassigned me to a totally different task, a totally different ministry called Priority Worship Ministry, which God had already been working and developing in my heart for about 20 years.
Yeah.
Because
you were already doing some of that work. I mean,
no question about it.
Yeah, that's what you were doing.
Yeah, it's basically a continuation of everything I had already been doing, but I was just doing it in a by faith, itinerant kind of a way. And I think my passion now is driven much more by the why we do what we do than the how.
Yeah.
You know, we for decades used to be the how-to denomination, and we knew how to teach
people
how to do.
Yeah.
The study course credits and all the conferencing and all the stuff. This is how you do this. And we had all the manuals.
Yeah.
But for some reason, God planted this passion in my heart to teach the why.
Yeah.
And I think once we began to dig in on the why, all the how-tos come.
Yeah.
It's the why, and I think that's the priority. So for me, raising the awareness that worship is a biblical priority of life, I believe is the answer to the why of everything that we do.
Yeah.
It just is. It's the core. Mm-hmm. And it's the foundation behind all that we do. And so for me now, everything that I'm desiring to do or feel led to do in this new assignment is to bring people back to the core purpose of life, and that is the answer to the why. We're here to worship the Lord, give Him glory, give Him honor.
I'm sorry, I couldn't cut you off.
No, you go.
Here's what I love about your ministry, and I've noticed this a long time, and I want to affirm something that I want it to be a blessing to you. You embody something that I've always aspired to do myself, and that is as a musician to lead from a spiritual context, not just a musical context. And Terry, I've seen you lead worship many times. I've seen you lead that great choir. I never did have the privilege of seeing you when you were still on a church staff, because we've gotten to know each other since I've been at Lifeway. But when you lead worship, it comes from a spiritual place, and you embody that. And here's the blessing I want to give to you on that, and you can speak to this. I see a lot of guys lead worship a lot of places. I see a lot of guys from Florida lead worship in a lot of places. And I see your fingerprint, your influence over next-gen guys, younger guys. When I see them, I see the long-tail results of a ministry that you've had in Florida all these years, because I see so many of those guys that come out of Florida leading from that place of spiritual, and they actually remind me of you. I've seen guys that remind me of you. They're better singers than you are, but they remind me. they remind me of you, and that's how much influence you've had. So I'm going to ask you, give me the three-minute answer to a question you could probably talk about 30 minutes. Pretend I'm a pastor of a church, and I'm interested in a priority worship weekend in my church. What would happen if priority worship came to my church for a weekend to help us with this area of worship? What would you do?
Well, in a priority worship weekend, what we want to do is we want to bring everybody back to their core. Mm-hmm. And the core of their calling, the core of the biblical perspective of why we exist. We bring everybody back to the very core of our essence spiritually, and that is that God desires for us to live lives that are honoring to Him and give Him glory. So we go back to the core of what worship is, and then from there we branch out from that and we start talking about the very specifics of what we do in that ministry. For instance, we'll go from here's the core of worship. This is what the Bible says about worship. And then we'll go to the very practical. How do you express that life? How do you live that life on a daily basis?
Connecting the dots.
Exactly, connecting the dots. And God didn't call me to be a musician, God called me to be a worshiper.
Yeah.
He didn't call me to be featured. He called me to be faithful. And in
See,
our
he's
day,
preaching now.
Now in
he's
our, preaching no, no, literally right. in our yeah. day, we live in a rock star generation yeah. and a rock right. star thing where everybody wants a mic in their hand and a light on their head, and they want a contract, and they want all the. Yeah. This is not about being a rock star. This is about being faithful to the task God's called us to do. And whether you're a singer or a musician or even a technician, priority worship weekends are all about. Are all about bringing people back to the core essence spiritually of what God's called us to be and to do, and to breed unity among singers, musicians, and technicians, to bring unity among those teams so that when they do their thing on Sunday and they lead people into the very presence of the Lord on Sundays or other experiences of worship, that team not only is unified, but the ability for people to encounter the presence of God, because we're literally creating an atmosphere by which the Spirit of God makes His presence known. Priority worship is all about that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then when it marries, when worship marries the Word of God, and mm-hmm. proclamation and praise marry, when thanksgiving and theology marry, when all that marries, spiritual transformation has potential to occur. That's the end goal.
Yeah, he's preaching. He's mm-hmm. preaching.
That's the end goal.
So here's what I loved. While we're having this little conversation with Terry Williams.
Is it time for an invitation?
No, well, almost.
How about an offer?
It sounds like the band is about to
start. Yeah, they're warming up.
Because that's Travis Cottrell's sound check that's happening.
Right, that's right.
20
that's
feet
what was
away
so loud
from
there.
So anyway, sorry for all the noise. But Terry, we love you. We respect you so
honor.
Much. And you know what? Every once in a while I get a phone call from you, and it's always at the right time to say, how you doing today? And I'm very, very grateful for that.
I love you guys.
I really do. Love
appreciate
you
it. Thanks for all you're doing. This is awesome.
Thank you. Okay, Tim, guess what? You know, we had Larry Grayson a minute ago.
Yeah,
we've
that
got
was good.
Another one of our state guys. We just had Terry Williams, Florida, Larry Grayson, Arkansas. So we're
heading
kind of
all around
we're
the country.
Around the deal.
Come with us on the journey.
We're in North Carolina.
Oh, I love North Carolina.
Well, I do too. And that's where, of course, Rich Chris is there. Our favorite.
My wife was born there.
Your wife was born in North Carolina. I didn't know that. She's a Tar Heel.
Yes, she is.
I didn't know. And Vicky Dvorak on our team.
She's more of a.
She bleeds that powder blue.
Yeah.
She does. And during basketball season, she doesn't work a whole lot.
You say the name Duke around her.
We don't say the name
right.
Duke around
because
her.
You better leave her office pretty quick.
Right, but anyway, so here he is, Kenny Lamb. Kenny, you lead the worship and music area of North Carolina. Now tell me your title again. You told me, and I don't remember.
I'm the
worship
senior,
consultant.
Yeah, worship consultant.
Yeah. So you've been in that role how long?
Just a little over 8 years.
Golly, Kenny.
I can't believe that.
I'm
either.
Getting old because I remember when I remember. I've been at Lifeway 13, so I guess about my fifth year is when you took that role. Now, how did you were at a great church before that?
Yes.
So what church were you at before you
went
to?
I was at Front Street Baptist in Statesville, North Carolina for 23 years. Went there right out of seminary.
Yeah. And where'd you go to seminary?
Southern.
You went to Southern. Mm-hmm. Are you North Carolina native?
I am.
All right. So where?
I bleed
where,
blue also.
You bleed blue also?
Yes.
So where'd you grow up?
Rocky Mountain, North Carolina.
Okay. So you're kind of back home.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, and
mm-hmm.
even when you move back to
that's right.
that church. So you've been in your role now 8 years. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking to Larry. I'll ask you a similar question. You may not have heard me ask Larry this question. But you, how many churches in the North Carolina Convention?
4,300.
That's a huge convention. Wow. Is that the largest one of the Southern Baptist Convention?
I haven't compared. I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
There's no time to, right?
That's
yeah,
a lot
no
of
time.
Man, that's a lot of churches.
Yeah,
I
wow.
mean, that 4,300. Yeah,
and such variety.
Oh, well, I was going to ask you. So you're sitting in a seat now where you see all kinds of churches. I mean, I imagine virtually any approach to worship that could be taken, somebody in your convention's taken. Would that's
a
an
fair
accurate
assessment, yeah.
Yeah. So how do you support all of that with all of the variety that would represent from all those churches?
Well, one thing I try to make the conversation not about style.
Yeah.
I've tried to really lift up training a lot in the sense of helping people to understand, as Terry was talking about, the heart of worship, the theology of worship, and understanding what it means to be a worship leader. And once they have that good biblical grounding, then what does that mean when we get up and lead worship? What does it? How do we think of ourselves as worship leaders? What do we do to really help the congregation to engage in worship?
Yeah.
And going through that process, I think, has helped people no matter what style of worship they have, what preferences they have, to be able to lead well.
Yeah.
And another thing that we really deal with a lot is just the whole concept of unified worship. Mm. We've got still, in North Carolina, we still have worship wars. We have congregations that are embroiled in battles over that. And a lot of times I have the opportunity to go in and work with the congregation and help them to get back on track with what worship should be.
Yeah.
And seeing God work in some amazing ways in that.
Well, here's something I've observed about your ministry from afar. I follow all of you guys that are doing the state work. I'm interested in what you're doing, excited about what you're doing, and you guys serve churches so well. You have a real heart for training and equipping. Mm-hmm. And that's expressed several ways in your ministry. You do far more than coordinating the music for the North Carolina Convention in the fall. I mean, you do a whole lot more than that. You really have a heart about equipping people from a training standpoint, especially even emerging leaders. So talk a little bit about that aspect of your work, because I've seen quite a few things coming from you. You blog about it.
Yeah.
You're always speaking about developing leaders. Talk about it.
That's true. I guess the blog has been one of the centerpieces. I didn't even know what a blog was hardly when I took the office 8 years ago. But It's something that I continue to try to pour in, and I have other great writers like a guy named Mike Harlan.
Oh, commonly found there.
I guess a core of the worship leadership is a module or a training that I call Worship Leader Boot Camp.
Right.
That sets down those foundations I talked about and builds on that, which really, interestingly enough, started in some mission work that my church was doing in Asia. And we brought that to North Carolina, and that over the last few years has been really exciting because I'm looking at more ways to get it into the hearts of our people, especially some of our bivocational people. So we have like 1 day kinds of events, 1.5 day kinds of events. And then recently we started a 3 day retreat where we just take 12 worship leaders aside and just really pour into them for 3 days.
What do you call that?
Worship Leader Boot Camp Extreme.
Oh, there you go. Yes. So it's kind of like, is this like Survivor?
Yeah,
it's sort of like
leaders?
That.
Okay. They do everything but upside down.
We pretty much work from the time we arrive till late at night every day, and I don't give them breaks. It's pretty exciting.
Cool. Yeah.
And to see how God's transformed some lives in that. This year, the big thing we've done is really get a lot of that online. We started a 12-week class that will take people through that same material plus a lot of supplemental material. One of our Baptist colleges is giving course credit for that.
Yeah.
But it's finding a lot of worship leaders are being able to do that, especially by vocational ones, amidst the rest of their life to really dig in deep.
Yeah.
So it's just really fulfilling to walk with those smaller groups and help disciple, mentor them in those ways and be available to them to help them in that journey.
That's cool. Kenny, I've been really, last couple of years, you've been facilitating something that is pretty cool for us at Lifeway. Lifeway meets with state leaders from all of our Baptist conventions. There are 39 of them across the North America, and they will come to Ridgecrest. The last couple of years it's been at Ridgecrest in December. This is an old thing that used to be called the December meeting, and it was because it happened in December, and it used to happen downtown Nashville. But we've been meeting at Ridgecrest. We gather, and you have been. Is this an honor, or is this a is this kind of like the guy that wasn't in the room when they voted? But you know that happens a lot. There are presidents of organizations just because they weren't there when the vote taken. But for the last few years, you've been the facilitator for the state music leaders, and you've organized a webcast that these guys get in. I always peek at what you're doing. I haven't been able to be there live yet for one of those. But talk a little bit about the state work in general and how the association of all you guys, how you help each other.
Yeah. Well, for me, I remember the first time I attended there at Lifeway in December.
Yeah.
And I think it was one of the biggest benefits to my ministry of rubbing shoulders with these guys who've been in the trenches for a while and learning from them, sitting at their feet. And always look forward to that time. And the last couple or 3 years as I've been in this position, we wanted to make it, I think all of us had a heart to make it more of a fellowship where we can lean upon each other, share prayer requests, things going on in our lives, or if we have some ministry, something that comes up, we don't know what to do, somebody else has probably done it, so we put it out on a Facebook page or text or whatever. And we do have a weekly meeting online now where we get together and we use Zoom teleconference, and whoever can join, you know, sometimes it may be 10 of us, sometimes maybe 4 or 5.
Yeah.
But it seems to be a high point in all of our lives just to get together and share life with each other, tell what's going on in our lives, maybe bring up something. Last month, I had Ryan Dahl from Praise Charts come and be with us, and that was really exciting. But it's, in fact, there's about 7 or 8 of us here, and we had planned on eating together one night, but then now we're going on to about our fourth meal together.
And you're just going to eat.
Just have such a good time fellowshiping.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
Kenny, we appreciate what you do. There are a lot of great churches in North Carolina.
They're
served well by your ministry as a worship consultant. I know you're really helping churches in a variety of ways, and different churches need your kind of help different ways, and you're doing that, and we're grateful for that. We're grateful for our friendship with you, and I'm grateful personally that I get to come to North Carolina this September and be part of what you
guys
are doing.
We can't wait. It's going to be a great time.
Thanks for inviting me. Thanks for dropping by today.
Thanks.
All right, so we're at Worship Life, and we're grabbing folks as they come by, and we just grabbed this guy.
Stop.
It hurt. All right, so one of our songwriters, great worship leader there in Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville.
Son of music industry legend. He is for me.
Yeah. No, he is. Yeah. I'm sorry. I laughed. I apologize, laughed. Dad. Yeah,
yeah. The Godfather. Godfather of the orchestra.
I remember when I first heard that Camp Kirkland was arranging one of my songs, I was like, you're kidding. Camp Kirkland is arranging one of my songs?
You had arrived.
I had arrived. Right. And then I got saw the royalty check and realized I had not got really anywhere.
And you went and bought your soda.
I did. I went and
enjoyed
drink.
You enjoyed that. Yeah.
No, I loved camp. But Kirk, you're a friend. We've known each other a long time.
Yes.
We've written a song or two together.
Yes,
we need to do that again. Someday.
Matter of fact, no kidding. There's one that we haven't really finished that I think we ought to finish up.
Oh yeah, we need to do that. You're going to lead worship tomorrow.
Yes.
And with your group Evidence. Tim.
Right
yes.
here, the very part the red box guy.
You are part of the Evidence.
Yes, I'm the dense part.
Along with your two.
I'm just glad to be at the table.
We're Eva and he's dense.
that's how it goes.
You ought to use that.
Well, he just tried.
He did. That's good.
Yeah.
Along with your two beautiful wives.
Yes.
Here's what I want to chase with you. You graciously offered to do something this week here at Worship Life that's pretty cool. A lot of people that think of you as a session singer, you've sung so many solos. You're probably the most often heard voice on our recordings because you do that every day, and we love the fact that you're singing songs for the church like that.
Me too.
You lead
honor.
Worship.
Yes.
All these things. But your academic background, in addition to a music background, you have a counseling
yes,
background.
That's right.
So there was a part of your journey where you said, you know, I want to serve the body or felt called.
That's right.
To serve the body from a counseling standpoint, you went and got your master's degree at
yes,
Tribeca.
I did.
Great school
in
there
Nashville.
In Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And so this week you said, hey, if somebody wants to talk, I'm here to listen.
Yes.
So I want you, you're not going to share any specifics of those conversations.
No,
I'm not asked for that.
Right.
But from a counselor standpoint,
yes,
a worship pastor, but a counselor standpoint, what are the kinds of questions that we who are in the front lines of leading worship need to be asking ourselves and asking about to make sure that we're thinking appropriately about this very challenging work that worship ministry is?
I love that question because I hope that my answer strikes a chord with people because I think that what I'm going to say is probably not first on our radar. It's not on the front burner because we have the tyranny of the urgent. You know,
yeah, sure.
We wake up every morning and we look at ourselves in the mirror.
Sunday's coming.
And we go, wow, like I got to work on that,
yeah,
you know? And
yeah,
then we think, okay, yeah, I've got my work to do, and Sunday's coming, and I got to work on that today. When I get to the office, this is what needs to happen. And then we look over, and there's our spouse, and there's our kids,
sure,
and there's everything else coming at us. It's like I said yesterday in my class, it's like you're Han Solo driving the Millennium Falcon, flying the Millennium Falcon through the asteroid field.
Yeah, exactly.
And the things that get set aside are really our self-care. Are we really taking a moment to go, hey, how am I doing? Like, how, you know? And we're created in God's image. We're triune. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. And if we're not paying attention to how healthy we are in each and all of those areas, and we're ignoring one or more, that unhealthiness is going to crop up, and it's going to show up in the other areas.
Mm.
And if we're suffering relationally at home, or we're suffering with our relationship with our pastor, or we're suffering spiritually because we're going through a crisis of faith and we're not addressing it biblically or like we should or like paying attention to it, it's going to show up emotionally or physically. And I think many ministers, not just music ministers, but including music folks, just get captivated by the tyranny of the urgent and ignore really important things going on under the surface. There's a book by Peter Scazzaro, and I hope I'm saying that right, and I hope I even quote the title right, because I didn't prepare to talk about this right now.
Yeah,
but
we just grabbed you in the hall here.
But I'm mentioning it in my class, and it's really good. And if I had it right here, I would. It's called, I forget exactly, but the subtitle is, and this is really even more powerful, it's impossible to be spiritually mature and remain emotionally immature. I'm going to say that again.
There you go.
It's impossible, he says, to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. And that kind of says it. That grabbed my heart.
So here's a redundant sentence for you. I'm a musician and I'm insecure.
Right.
I mean, that's part of what
that's
we're
right.
dealing with, isn't it?
That's right. Yes. You know what? I think that dovetails exactly because emotionally, how secure are we in who we are in Christ and what He's given us, what our gifts are, where He's placed us to serve? Are we content? Are we, you know, and that comes from knowing who you are in Christ and not letting your security be rooted in the skill level.
How well last Sunday went.
Yeah.
How good you sounded on the solo or the
and
choir.
And you know what? In the culture in which we live, it is such a comparison culture, and it's getting toxic because of social media. You have this ability to see what everybody's doing every week, how they're doing it, how they sound, what the video looks like, what the lighting is.
How many views and likes they got.
Yeah. Totally. Oh, gosh, and think of how that's affecting everything in our culture, people, and on every level, but even with professional stuff. And in my career, how do I measure up?
Yeah.
It does not matter how you measure up to anyone.
Yeah.
Because none of us measure up to Christ, so we need Him to be our all in all. And then trust God. He has us right where He wants us. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness and to do the work He's called us to
do. He's dropping truth bombs. All right, Tim, so make a note.
Yeah.
Kirk Kirkland is coming back to our next podcast recording day, and we're doing a full deal with him on this topic.
Yeah,
because
that's a deep well.
That's a deep, deep thing. We love you, man. You're family
buddy.
To us.
That's the way I feel. Thank you.
And you're teaching breakouts this week. You're leading worship in the morning. You're talking to people. And we actually provided a way. We gave a mechanism to the attendees of the conference to anonymously reach out and say, hey, I'd like to talk to Kirk. Yep. And we're setting up those appointments as the
and
week
all of
on.
My slots have filled.
And all
except
your
for maybe one or two,
that's
rewarding. That people need it, and I'm glad we could do it.
Thank you for investing in those people this week, and thanks for chatting with us right now.
My pleasure, man. Appreciate y'all.
Well, Mike, it's just been fascinating as we've sat here and listened to some of these some of these conversations. What you've been listening to in the podcast, of course, live interviews from folks who were at the Worship Life events this summer, some of the great teachers and artists and speakers, and in some cases just ministers of music and people who are getting you and Tim Henning, of course, interviewing those folks live. I hope it's given the folks listening a kind of a flavor of the event.
Yeah.
We've got so much content. We've got another podcast episode, the next one coming up. We're going to be interviewing more folks, and we want you all to hear the feedback, the information, and just get an idea of the types of people that come to these events. Hopefully inspire you to invest in this kind, or your congregation to invest in you coming to one of the events next year.
As I listen to these, it reminds me of just how awesome that week really was. And we're already planning for next year, and those dates are already posted at worshiplifeevent.com, and registration for that will be opening very soon and may be open by the time we do this. So and there's an early bird rate. I hope people take advantage of it. But these conversations will give you an idea of the depth of knowledge of the staff that come and teach at Worship Life. I'm really excited about it.
Absolutely fascinating. So be sure to tune in to the next episode of live interviews from the Worship Life events. Until that time, please email us, worship@lifeway.com. Let us know topics you'd like to see, other guests that you'd like to have appear on the Worship Life podcast. And as always, let us know how we can pray for you. Until then, for Mike Harlan, this is Brian Brown saying thanks for joining us on the Worship Life podcast. We'll be back together with you again very soon.